Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to study your word. May you guide us in your truth that we may have a deeper understanding on this Bible verses and help us to be able to know what you're speaking to us through the verses. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. All right, as usual, we shall read together first. John chapter 7, verses 14 to 31. And after that, we're going to zoom in to look at verses 25 to 29. Yep, so let's read together. First John chapter 7, verses 14 to 31. About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, "How is it that this man has learning when he has never studied?" So Jesus answered them, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" The crowd answered, "You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?" Jesus answered them, "I did one work, and you all marveled at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I've made a man's whole body well? Do not judge by appearance, but judge with right judgment." Some of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, "Is not this man whom they seek to kill? And here he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? But we know where this man comes from, and when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from." So Jesus proclaimed as he taught in the temple, "You know me, and you know where I come from, but I have not come on my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know. I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me." So they were seeking to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. Yet many of the people believed in him. They said, "When the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done?" There is together John chapter 7, verses 25 to 29. Again, and we're going to zoom in to look at this few verses today. John chapter 7, verses 25 to 29. Some of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, "Is not this the man whom they seek to kill? And here he is, speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? But we know where this man comes from, and when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from." So Jesus proclaimed as he taught in the temple, "You know me, and you know where I come from, but I have not come on my own accord. He who sends me is true, and him you do not know. I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me." So, as we start off with verse 25, we see that Jesus himself has finished his discourse with the crowds already. He has finished whatever he has said. And so now, right now, some of the people of Jerusalem came and spoke to him about it. Now, I want to draw a distinction, first of all, as we start, between the crowd as mentioned in verse 20 and the people of Jerusalem in verse 25. The crowd refers to a very general group of people, a very general audience. It can be people from Galilee, it can be people from Jerusalem. It is a mixture of people of both Gentile and Jews. However, when we come to verse 25, it speaks of some people of Jerusalem very specifically and very particularly. It is talking about people who live in Jerusalem, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You know, in the olden days, some people are known as a man of Jerusalem, which refers to inhabitants. That specific man actually lives, stays for his whole life in Jerusalem. And so the expectation is that, first of all, the expectation is that the people right now speaking to Jesus, these are Jewish people. Generally, people who stays in Jerusalem are not Gentiles. A majority of them are Jews themselves. But this is a great irony, first of all, that we need to recognize here. They are Jews. You know, one would think that those who live at the fountainhead, the one that has the source of all knowledge and religion, should have been most ready to receive the Messiah himself. They have learning. they have great interest in detail of this coming Messiah. One would expect that when the Messiah comes, they should know best the expectation. They should come to receive Christ himself. But in fact, what happened is quite contrary. They themselves, though having plenty of the means of knowledge and grace, they did not make better of it. They in fact made it worse. That our Lord Jesus did not appear to them, though he did, but they did not actually understand him. It was not without some cause. Then it came into a proverb that actually says, the nearer the church, the further from God. The nearer the church is to people, the further the church is from God. These people of Jerusalem showed their ill will to Christ himself. Indeed, we can see here in verse 26 and 27 later on, in fact, that, you know, in verse 27, we start to see that these people of Jerusalem started questioning their authorities. They started questioning whether whatever the authority has spoken is true or not. But yet, they themselves still follow everything that has been spoken by their authority and denied Christ, denied who he was, denied who he claims to be. So that's the first thing. This group of people being Jews from Jerusalem. Now when we come to the second part of the verse, it says here, is not this the man whom they seek to kill? Whom they seek to kill. Now, this is first of all a very interesting thing for them to say. The desire for the Sanhedrin to kill Jesus has gone so great that the whole of Jerusalem might have known already that they have seen the design of them to kill Christ ever since the Passover before. In the past when he has done the miracle before. For the whole time, they themselves have been plotting to kill Christ. And for the whole time during their plot, they have spread this information to people. Many people come to know about this plot to kill Christ. You see, we recognize here about his hatred, their hatred towards Christ. The hatred that even during this feast, they seek every opportunity to kill him, to lay hold of Christ and to kill him. See the hatred. Right now, it is during the Feast of Booths. It is during a period of celebration. It is during a period where they remember God, how God has closely dwelt with them. And yet when God dwells with them in human flesh, yet they seek to kill him. And lo and behold, right now in verse 26, here he is. Christ, the one whom the Sanhedrin has been seeking to kill, the one whom our leaders has been seeking to kill. Now he's speaking so openly, with much great freedom and publicly in the temple, that one would not imagine him to be greatly persecuted. You know, it is the same as today. You just imagine a pastor speaking boldly out there in the streets, in the church. But yet, that pastor might be someone whom the police are seeking after. It is the same case here. How is it that he is able to speak such openly, such publicly? How is it that he is standing right there saying all these things? And none of them, none of the Sanhedrins, none of the high priests, none of the priests that is in the temple, mind you, where they are right now, none of them are seeking to kill him. Why? Why are they not saying anything about Christ? Why are they not stopping Christ? Why are they not coming to Christ and do something about it? And now there is a bit of suspicion right there by the Jewish people, by the listeners, by the audience themselves. Could it be that the authorities are lying to us? Could it be that the authorities themselves already know who he is? Could it be that the authorities are hypocrites, that they know who Christ is, but yet they themselves do not wish to capture him? They themselves do not wish to do justice in some sense, as they know it. It's quite ironic in this case here. But yet, with that idea in mind, the Jews quickly cover it up. The Jews quickly stop themselves from thinking, but we know where this man comes from, and when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from. But this is the first point that we come to today that I want to bring across to us here. Look at the Jews. Look at what do they follow. You see, the very charge that Christ brought across to them is that they do not wish to do the will of God. And indeed, right now, we see that here. They do not seek to do the will of God at all. They seek to please their authorities. You see, in verse 26, up front, they already suspect what the authorities really know. What are the authorities seeking after? They already suspect that their authorities might be wrong. But yet, what do? They still choose to submit their authorities because their authorities has told them where Christ come from. I'll go into detail about explaining why this itself might be a bit of controversy. But for now, just know and recognize that this is what the authorities has told them. We know whose Christ's parents are, his father and his mother. And so he cannot be the Christ. Even though Christ speak openly and speak well with his doctrine, with his teaching, that they themselves have suspected this to be the Christ in the first place. You see, if in verse 26, that if Christ did not spoke with the authority and power which he has been given from God the Father, they would not even expect him to be Christ. If he was speaking rubbish, gibberish, whatnot, they would not have guessed who he was. But yet, through the speech that he has given, through the teaching that he has given to them, they suspected. But yet, they gave in to their own authorities. They gave in to their religious authorities for the sake of their religious authorities, for the sake of pleasing their spiritual authorities, their religious authority. They missed Christ. They gave up on Christ. Now, this is something that happens to us also. For the sake of pleasing our religious authorities, for the sake of pleasing our social political authorities, the authorities in this world, the civil authorities and whatnot, we ourselves are willing to give up truth. We ourselves are willing to give in to Christ. We do not question the authorities, just as how this group of people did not question their authorities. We just willingly submit. We no longer seek to do the will of God, but we seek to please men. You seek to give honor and glory to men. Why so many people fall into great churches, wrong churches in a sense? Why do so many people fall into them? Because they don't question. They might think that the teaching of the churches are wrong. They might know that the teaching of churches is wrong, but for the sake of authority, for the sake of submitting to them, they themselves give in to them. They themselves give up truth for the sake and pursuing the glory of their religious leader. And this is the very case that we see here. This group of Jews, at least many of them, did not seek to do the will of God because they do not know the teachings from God and whether Christ is speaking with authority or not. Because to them, true authorities does not lie in Christ, but they judge with appearance, just as how Christ has charged them with in verse 24 previously. Sorry. That they see Christ outwardly, that they themselves believe their religious leader, and they themselves denied Christ. In fact, this is what we see in verse 27. But we know where this man comes from. We know this guy is Jesus of Nazareth. We know that he has come from Nazareth in Galilee. We know the manner of birth which they have accounted for. We know that this man is of Joseph and of Mary, that he is the son of that carpenter. They pretended to know who Christ was. They pretended that they know for certain that Christ was the offspring of Joseph, that the father was Joseph, that he was begotten in a wedlock and was born as other persons are. There was no difficulty with them in accounting for his coming into this world, no more than any other ordinary person just like you and me. He is a descendant of Joseph and Mary and was well known to them and to be accounted for in a rational way, and therefore concluded that this man born of Joseph and Mary cannot be the Messiah. Well, in a way, they themselves have been lied to by their religious leaders to have told them all these things. In fact, they are correct to say that when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from. Indeed, this is true. If we were to look throughout the Old Testament, this is what has been prophesied. You do not know the day and the time, you do not know how he is. In fact, his appearance would not be as you expected it to be. The Jews had this understanding that the seed which is to come will not come in the manner as how we are born from our parents. This seed itself, the seed of David, is to be born of a virgin, especially in accordance to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And such a coming into the world was not to be known, not to be reasoned upon, and not to be accounted for. Wherefore, since Jesus, according to the notion of certain men in this group, he came on a certain day, he came by parents. But yet, they did not realize and did not recognize the virgin birth of Christ. They did not see that. They did not know about that. They did not respect it. The rabbi, as how they themselves has called it, has taught them in that manner. They submitted to the authorities of the rabbis and they overlook the truth of Christ's birth, of his virgin birth. They think that they are able to trace Christ's descendantship. In fact, they think that the descendants itself is all from Joseph's side, in the sense that it was birthed through Joseph, by Joseph. But they did not know that Mary, that Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, sorry. They didn't recognize that. They did not know that. They saw Christ as a normal human being. And ultimately, they judge by appearance. They did not judge by what was true. They did not judge by righteous judgment. But they judge by appearance. So there's that right there. The two grave mistakes that these Jews have committed. And indeed, through this mistake, they themselves have missed this great opportunity to recognize who they are discussing with, Almighty Christ. And so right there and there, Christ himself began to their objection, to this objection, by saying and by proclaiming greatly in the temple, just as he has taught. Overhearing all this reasoning of this man, however, knowing what they said, he has altered his voice and he started teaching once again in the temple about him. You know me, as Christ proclaimed and taught. You know me and you know where I come from into this world by incarnation or the assumption of the human nature. You have seen me right now with the physical body. You have seen me as a physical man to work out the salvation of man. The Father called him to it, and he is agreeing to do it. It was the fullness of time sent about it. This was not a device of his own that he comes here with. As we see the dawn, he who sent me is true. Now, another thing that is to note right now, and you know where I come from. You know me and you know where I come from. They may consider it as an ironic concession. Yes, you know me. You know where I come from. You know me to be Jesus of Nazareth. But you're wrong. You do not truly know who I am. You do not truly know where I come from. The ignorance that you have to say that I am the son of Joseph, that was that I am begotten by him on Mary, it is your grave mistake. You seem to know me through the Pharisees, through the Sanhedrin, through your authority. You assumed that I have come from my father Joseph in a sense. But you're wrong. I did not come on my own accord. For if it is by man, we have come on our own accord. If it is by man, we will be individualistic enough to come for our own accord. Joseph, the carpenter, will not send Christ to the temple to preach with such great learnings that he has. In fact, Joseph himself wouldn't have such great learnings. He wouldn't be capable of sending Jesus to learn such things. But I have not come on my own accord. It was impossible for Joseph to send him, so the next possibility is for Christ to come by his own. But Christ did not come on his own accord. He who sent me is true. The Father who sent me is true. And my Father is not Joseph. That is exactly what he's proclaiming here. My Father is the Father of truth. My Father is the one who sends me. He that sent me is true to the covenant that he has made with me, the covenant between Christ and the Father, and to the promises made to the fathers of the Old Testament concerning the mission of the Son. And he is true to be believed in his testimony he gave on him, particularly by the voice of heaven, which declares him to be the beloved Son. He who sends me is true. The one who proclaims in the heavens is true, and him you do not know. You do not know him. You think you know my Father. You think you know the one who sent him. You think it is Joseph, but you do not know who sends me. That they boast in the knowledge of him also recognize you. And I mentioned at the start before just now. Right now they're in Jerusalem. Now the group of people right there are Jews. They themselves boast in their knowledge, their learnings about religion, about Christ, about God, Jehovah, the Lord. But yet, Christ says that you do not know him. You knew not of his Father from whence he has came, by whom he was sent, notwithstanding also their boast of knowledge of the one and only true and living God. They knew him not in the spiritual sense. They knew him not in Christ, nor as the Father of Christ. They knew neither the Father nor the Son. And in their ignorance, they have hatred towards both Christ, his followers, and ultimately to the God whom they themselves has proclaimed to love. They had a false religion. They had a false understanding of who God was. They interpreted Moses falsely, and they themselves became law. But indeed, what Christ says here, I know him. I know his nature. I know his perfection, his purpose, his promise, his counsels, his covenant, his mind, his will, and indeed no one else knows him but Christ himself, and those to whom he pleases to reveal him, and there is good reason why he should have intimate and perfect knowledge of him. For I have come from him. I have full knowledge of him because I came from him. I came from his bosom, and I, being the only begotten son of him, and as such knows him and his whole heart, and was previewed to all to him and that is within him. And not just that, I did not come on my own accord, but he sent me. In our office capacity to redeem his people, this is the original descent of Christ, which the Jews did not know. Though they pretended to know him, but yet they did not know who he was. You see, this is the sadness about the Jews right here that we see. They think they have knowledge, think they know God, but yet their understanding of God was never through the means which God has ordained. The way God wishes us to know him is through his Son, Jesus Christ, the one who is in the bosom of God, the Father. It is through Christ that we can have the full knowledge of God. Recognize that in verse 17, it is not to do God's will, but it is to will to do God's will. It is that great desire to do God's will where he will be, where he will want and he will come and reveal himself to us. Through who? Not through our learning, not through our understanding, or not through our pastors and whatnot, but it is through Christ. Ultimately, that is what we are doing, pointing ourselves to Christ, that all things of scriptures must be understood through Christ. Not just Christ as a person, for the Jews themselves know Christ as a person, they knew their father, know his father and know his mother, but it is through knowing the acts of Christ, what he has done. The gospel itself is to see everything about God through the lens of the gospel. You see, this is very sad. Right now, the Jews has forsaken Christ, and we will look at them, and we look at them, really, why do you forsake Christ? Why do you not look at God through Christ? But yet, this is the case for many of us today. You see, I have heard some comments going around, not in our church actually, but from all over the place. People say that, oh, I do not like Sunday sermons anymore because every sermon they're talking about the same thing. He's talking about Jesus Christ coming to this earth, dying for sinners on the cross, that God may forgive our sin. So repetitive. I have heard this thousands of times in my life. Why do I need to hear it again? But yet they do not realize that this is the failure and their shortcoming. That the very gospel itself is the key to understand God. It's the key to understanding God, His authority, everything that He has spoken about. They do not know God because they do not know Christ. They do not know who sent Christ. They do not know who Christ come from because they themselves did not know and believe in Christ. Why is the gospel so important and why must we preach it to ourselves daily? For us to understand a single drop of God's knowledge, a single drop of God's wisdom, it must be through Christ. The Jews failed in understanding Christ. May we not fail in understanding Christ also. So may God help us with that. May God help us with that. We no longer see Christ as just that nice white man in pictures and living on this world, walking in this world for 33 years. But do we truly understand Christ, who He was, where He come from, whom sent Him? Something for us to reflect more upon. And ultimately also the way we treat our knowledge about Christ. So with that, I will end us off here today. Now we'll close us in prayer for today's session. Let me pray. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You once again, Lord, for gathering us today to continue to read through John chapter 7, Lord. That we see the unbelief in the Jews. Lord, that we see the pretentious faith that they have towards You, Lord. That with their own prejudice, Lord, they have judged You in accordance to their own authorities, to human authorities, to religious authorities, to civil authorities, to men. That we have submitted ourselves to men also. Lord, that may You help us, Lord, to ultimately submit to Your will, to Your authority, O Father. Teach us and align ourselves towards You, no longer to this world that we trust, but in Christ Jesus alone. Help us to see that to know You, even a drop of Your understanding, that even a single revelation of Yours, we must know the One whom You have sent. Help us, O Lord, to love Christ. Help us, O Lord, to love Your begotten Son. Help us, O Lord, to see Your begotten Son. Help us, O Lord, to understand the salvation that You have given to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father, today once again, Lord, for allowing us this time and this opportunity to continue to read through Your Word. May You grant us Your Holy Spirit continuously to read and understand Your Word. Teach us to interpret it properly in a proper manner, Lord, that ultimately we may love You, we may love and serve You with all our hearts, Lord. Teach us, O Lord, the ways that we should go. Guide us, O Lord, and help us in our daily life to live out this truth and this understanding of what You have accomplished for us at the cross. Thank You, Father, today for tonight. We pray all this in Your Son's most precious name. Amen.